Welcome to the MetPro Method podcast. I'm your host, Crystal O'Keefe. And today we have a special guest on the podcast, James Maslow. Now, James has done a lot of things. He's an actor, he's a singer, he's a dancer, model, and entrepreneur. He played James Diamond on Nickelodeon's Big Time Rush and still, of course, part of Big Time Rush. You guys are getting ready to go on a major world tour soon. Oh, that's awesome. And today, James is going to be here talking about his fitness journey with MetPro, before MetPro. And we're also going to be joined by Angelo Poli, who is the founder of MetPro and James's MetPro coach. Welcome to you both.
What a lovely intro. You know, I haven't gotten model in a while. Made me feel good, you know? I'm model right now, and that's an interesting place for me to be. But you know what? I really appreciate it. I feel good about myself now. Thank you.
We're going to have to dust off that Wikipedia for you.
You know, I just have to keep playing the part.
There you go. There you go.
Angela, come on. We got to cut back down to the model weight, okay?
I was in the grocery line not a week ago. And the young lady who was, you know, checking out the groceries, you know, she asked for my age. You know, of course, they got to do that if you're buying any adult beverages. And in this case, I was. And I gave her my birth date. And there was this long, awkward pause. And I leaned over and I said, "This is where you're supposed to gasp in disbelief audibly." And she goes, "Oh, thank you. That's what I meant." No, right. You're not that old.
She was really just trying to do math that fast in her head, Angelo.
He's just fishing for a compliment. She's like, "Sir, I'm just trying to do my job. Pardon me, are you berating me?" Anyways, how are we doing today?
Good. How are you doing?
I am good. I am back home after a whirlwind, like 72 hours / 3 days have been nuts. Just getting to LA, launching the tour you mentioned. We just launched, tickets went on sale this week for the worldwide In Real Life tour, doing a bunch of press. On my way up here, somebody sends me, TMZ caught us on our way into our pop-up. We also did a pop-up where we recreated some of the old TV show set. And, you know, I brought some platinum records and awards and all that stuff. And they caught us in the pop-up. And I'm not going to lie, I'm real excited. We're going to talk about my fitness journey here. I'm more on the gain train than I've ever been. We've gained over 20 pounds in the last 2.5 months, roughly. And wow. I'm good with it because I trust this man here, you know. Angelo, I got my life in your hands and my belly in your hands. And I say belly specifically because in that TMZ video I went, "Oh, wow, hey, pal, I can see a little something under your shirt there." I got to be honest, I was a little self-conscious about that. I was like, yep, that's the part of the gain train that absolutely sucks. We're going to talk about it today.
Yeah. Let's get into it. So Angelo, is that a normal part of the gain train?
When you were trying to do something on the accelerated schedule that we're doing with James, yes. Now, you know, most of our listeners have heard me talk about the scientific differences between a slow revving cycle or, you know, in the fitness and bodybuilding community, they call it a clean bulk versus a dirty bulk. James is not doing a dirty bulk. But he is most definitely doing a bulk because we got a schedule to keep.
He's so also not accelerating. Clean bulk. I guess that's what we're saying here. It's a middle ground bulk. Murky. It's a murky bulk.
Yeah, I was checking out your Instagram. I saw a sample of your food day over a whole day of all the things you've been eating. I would definitely not call that dirty, but there was a lot of food there. That was a massive amount of food.
What's crazy is that, you know, over the last 20 years, I've been training and eating relatively clean, right? Which is an absurd thing when you don't know specifically what that is. And the more I work with Angelo and MetPro, the more I learn how little I knew before. But I thought as we started ramping up my food to a larger portion, a larger volume than I've ever done before, I was certain. I'm telling people, like, dude, I'm over 4,000 calories, easy. And I go to Angelo, he's like, "Pal, you're at like 33. That's right. Makes sense to me. But it's because we're doing very little fat. And to get to over even 3,000 calories a day in pretty much just protein and carbohydrates is a massive volume of food, especially if you want to do it clean, which is natural food and no, you know, processed stuff. So yeah, it's a lot. It is working in terms of the weight that I've wanted to gain. We're gaining, we're on track. But you know, also a little bit jigglier than I've ever been, and a little self-conscious about that, pal. So real excited to start cutting.
Real excited. So for context, We are exactly 2 pounds away from our goal high before we start cutting. So this is the top of the top. And so what's really been fun to see is not only the physique changes as he's packing on muscle, because James has been putting muscle on an accelerated rate, but it's not just aesthetic. He's moving around in the gym, you know, in ways that are just in 10 weeks radically transformed. Weights are feeling a little bit lighter these days, aren't they, Val?
It's crazy. I've always considered myself relatively strong pound for pound. I think that's actually been very true. I've always trained with people bigger than me and stronger than me and kept up pretty well. But now understanding the difference with, okay, 175 strong pound for pound, you just won't compete with 200 pounds strong pound for pound. And so, I mean, what's a good example? You know, I would do an incline dumbbell press, and at about 85, which is a lot of weight, I'm like, man, that starts feeling heavy. And now I'll take 70, 75s for a warm-up set.
Right.
It's a colossal difference. So that's the exciting part. And, you know, I really hope that as we start cutting fat, we maintain not only the muscle, but that strength, because allowing my body being able to lift more, tell me if I'm wrong scientifically, will also allow me to continue to gain that size and strength that I want over time, right?
Absolutely. And I'd like to share a little bit about the science. You know, we've talked about this, but this is a great opportunity because all the listeners are going to be interested in this. The bulk is, well, a lot of people think the bulk is the fun part, and it can be fun to, oh, now I don't have to worry about my calories per se. What most people don't realize is for a lot of people, when you're trying to gain at an accelerated rate and put on maximal amounts of muscle over a short period of time, so you're not dissimilar to what we do with some of our football players in the off season, et cetera,
yeah.
It is more work in some cases. It is more work because you're eating on the clock. You know, sometimes 6-7 times a day, and it's like, doesn't matter that the timer goes off, it's middle of the afternoon, I just had a big meal, you get to eat again. Now we mitigate that by very purposefully selecting the macronutrients and sources that it's coming from. But I think that the listeners would really enjoy kind of hearing what our strategy is for cutting you while absolutely keeping every shred of muscle we possibly can and getting it done in a short amount of time.
Angelo, I want to hear that strategy. I my seat in anticipation.
But I want to back up for just a second because there's going to be Who is James?
How did we end up here? Why are we doing all these gains? So we got to start backwards. You said you've been into fitness like 20 years, so that you're not new to it. What has that background look like that we got here?
Yeah, I mean, the very abbreviated version of the last 20 years is I grew up playing sports and then started attending a performing arts school that didn't have sports. So sure. I started going to the gym being like, I want to stay active and there's no, you know, athletic teams to play on here. I was auditioning for, you know, black box theater performances and the main stage performances, which would be like our varsity and our junior varsity competitive teams, respectfully, which may sound crazy, but it was the San Diego School of Creative and Performing Arts. And literally no sports teams. Those were the sports teams. That's what people went to that school to do. So the byproduct of that was, hey, I want to stay active. Got into the gym. Also, I would look at the people I looked up to, from athletes to actors that played superheroes, that played military characters that I thought were awesome. And I'd look at these physiques and go, oh, okay, well, obviously that's part of my job then. And some people disagree with that. I still believe that's part of my job. I still want to play a superhero in the future. And is it possible to do that being skinny? And of course it is. But if I look the part before I get it, it is going to be so much easier for people to go, oh, obviously James can be that guy because he already looks like that guy. So fast forward, 20 years of training pretty hard in the gym, doing martial arts, getting into Muay Thai and boxing and fun things, CrossFit, tons of different training, to meeting Mike O'Hearn and training for my first fitness cover under his tutelage, if you will. I did the cover of Fitness RX when I was on Dancing with the Stars. I did the cover of Men's Health Mexico because of a movie I had coming out at the time. I've always continued to train. But when I did both of those covers, I literally just went to Mike and said, what am I eating? I didn't really know why I was eating, you know, 4 ounces of whitefish and asparagus 6 times a day, but I did it and it worked. And so we got to this place now. I started building home gyms 4 years ago during COVID. And my strength actually, for the first time in my entire life, started to discernibly increase because I had the time to get back to the fundamentals. I started learning how to properly deadlift and squat and do a lot of movements that I just kind of skipped over before. So that was really the beginning of me being like, hey, I want to build a bulletproof body. I want to actually start to put on real legs. I want my physique to match. Okay, I looked cut for these covers, but I had really little legs and I never liked that. So I started learning the fundamentals, learning what I didn't know. I worked with a company called Bodycore to build out Gym 4.0. That's what I call my home gym here. And they helped me outfit it. It's incredible. It's an amazing, it's like a single car garage I've converted. It looked like a proper freaking badass gym, painted it black. And through that, I was introduced to MetPro and Angela because of a partnership they have. And I didn't fully understand the impact that was going to have on my life until maybe the first week of us working together. Because I thought I knew enough, right? I thought I knew, well, I can get to 3,000 calories a day, but I didn't really know what 3,000 calories was. It's like, oh, well, I've always kind of been in shape and had a close to a six pack, so I'm good. But fundamentally, I would talk about wanting to walk around at 185 or 195, but I never fully understood how hard it was to get there, nor did I have the tools to get there. So sorry, man, I'm going to tell you the long version.
Yeah, this is what we want. This is what we're here for.
Yeah,
long story, still long. This has been mind-blowing to me to work with Angelo, to have the app, to have him coaching me and be like, all right, man, this is what we're going to have to do. We're weighing every day. So there's no room for error. There's no more guessing. So we're going to increase your food. We're going to see how your metabolism reacts. We're going to get a baseline, and then we're going to slowly increase it week by week, every week. I thought at some point my body's going to plateau, and it hasn't. We've continued to grow. Now, I was joking about having more fat in my body than I'm used to, but I definitely have more muscle. So yeah, that's part of the process. But I mean, I'm walking around at nighttime, I'm 203, 204 pounds. Now, morning is where we're weighing. We're weighing the dry weight. And I was 198 this morning, 199 yesterday morning. So we're literally a matter of days away, most likely, from me being 200 pounds dry, which I didn't even know if my frame could carry. And I'm realizing, as crazy as this sounds to me at least, oh, I could go up from here. We're not going to because I have to be on camera soon. I'm going to be touring. I've got a movie coming up. So we want to start cutting back down so that I can do my job essentially for that. But I'm already excited about the next round. I'm 6'1". I don't think there's any reason why I couldn't walk around at 210, right, 215, maybe 220, and not even look bulky, which is the crazy part. So in a nutshell, I am just beginning to truly understand metabolism, what I should be eating. And I'm just excited because I'm going to carry this for the rest of my life and figuring out how to do it right.
That's awesome. I love hearing that.
It's been a blast for me getting to go on this journey with you, James. It's been an honor. And so a lot of, at least on our side of things, our listeners, they're going to understand the concept of the goal setting and systematically increasing. But for people who maybe aren't as familiar with this process, this is going to be a little bit more specific. So when we're talking about 200 pounds, this wasn't James and I met 20 minutes later, we decided we're going to bulk you up to 200 and then we're going to cut. No, we had a general idea of where we wanted to go. But what we did was we baseline tested. I put you on a meal plan where I knew the exact calorie composition, macronutrient composition, glycemic load, meal frequency, all of the nerdy stuff that we track. Mm-hmm. And I watched how your body performed. And it was probably not until, even though we've been doing this about 10 weeks now, 11 weeks maybe, It probably wasn't until I would say around week 3 or 4 that initially it's like, what's our goal? Up is our goal. Gain. Yeah. Probably around week 3 or 4, the way your body was responding and how we were watching and evaluating your numbers, a number in the ballpark of 200, even a little higher, kind of came. We started thinking, I think this is a reasonable spot we can get to for your first building cycle. Now, I think it would have been closer to 205, 210 if you didn't have the tour we got to get you ready for. So 200 came into focus, but that's significant. That's 25 pounds to put on.
Yeah. But so, it's 25 pounds in, like you said, 10 weeks.
We're at about 10, 11 weeks now, and we're almost to 25 pounds. We're almost there.
That's a lot. That's really fast to put that weight on. That's amazing.
My body wanted it, right? Mm-hmm. I believe that if it didn't want it, I'd be a lot fatter, a lot less strong. We've also watched that, and I've been lucky enough to have Angelo here, and I think it's one beautiful part of working with MetPro, especially if you can do the concierge program, you have somebody to talk to. I don't know if I would have continued at a few different peaks mm-hmm. and moments if I didn't have somebody assuring me, you're supposed to look like this, you're going to fill out, just hold this weight for the next week. And that's something that I've learned, that if nobody's gone through this process before to put on size, and you tell me if it's going to be similar taking off size, it's a strange thing where you get up, let's say every 5 or 7 pounds, and I'll get to that weight relatively fast, to your point, then feel like, man, I feel like a little bit kind of chunky. I don't know if I like it. Is this too fast? And then I will maintain that weight. And so the weight isn't increasing, but the caloric intake I have stays the same. And something interesting happens where the composition, I've seen my body go from like, I don't feel too good, to a little bit bigger, a little bit more filled out, a little bit flatter. And that's been the cool part where I've just continued to trust the process. I'm like, man, okay, if I don't feel good today, I know I've gone up 2 or 3 pounds since last time. If I maintain it for another even few days, my body is going to convert a lot of that fat into muscle. It's going to start stabilizing at that size. So even today, we were doing legs, doing Bulgarian split squats, which is a balancing act to some degree, right? One-legged. And when I started doing this, even at 185, 190, I felt a little more top-heavy. Mm-hmm. And then today, at closer to 200, I just felt solid because my body is now balancing that out. So there's something very real about getting to the weight and then living in that weight for a while. Everything changes. Your body just adapts. And that's like been the really cool part about this process so far for me.
So everything you said, see that you're speaking from the perspective of as you're observing it. So everything you said was absolutely 100% accurate. Now, from a scientific and technical standpoint, it's a little more nuanced than body fat converting to muscle. But basically, yes, that is essentially what you are seeing from your perspective as we're increasing. And it's worth stating, while the meal plan I've had you on now has been sticking for the last several weeks, especially when we first started, it was a gradual. Because had we started James on the intake threshold that he is now on, week one, he would have just put on a ton of body fat. Instead, we started him gradually increasing as his metabolic rate comes up. And so this is one of those myths in the industry. It's like, well, you have more muscle, you have a faster metabolism. That's all true, but that's not the most relevant piece. That's a very small part of it. The bigger part of it is metabolically, our bodies seek homeostasis, which means as he eats more calories, as we increase his carbohydrates, his protein was high from day one, that was purposeful. But as we increase his intake overall, his body is trying to fight us. And if you're listening at home, so will yours. You increase, your metabolic rate is going to try and fight you by recreating homeostasis by simply running faster. So over time, we've had to actually increase his intake a little bit more, a little bit more. And yes, a measure of that is because he's packing on more muscle and his body is a bigger fat-burning engine and requires more fuel, but it really comes down to the metabolism. And that's why I am exceptionally cocky when I talk about how effective the cutting cycle will be.
I want to hear more about this cutting cycle because obviously James is excited about this cutting cycle.
Tell me all about the cutting
cycle. So I do have a question. Since you have the tour coming up, you have a filming for a movie, all these things, photo shoots, etc. When, what is there like a deadline? Is there like, do you have, are there numbers that have to be hit by a certain point?
Well, so realistically, you know, also to, some people look at me and go, oh, what is like the network tell you a certain weight? And like, no, not until you're an Avenger. I mean, like, literally at that level.
That's probably, next week, buddy. That's next week.
You know, and hey, knock on some wood, it'll come. But I just, at that level, yeah, they probably set you up 6 months in advance to work with, you know, somebody like Angelo to do what I'm doing now. Very few actors, sadly, at least not all of them, should I say, not very few, not all actors maintain their physique, their health and wellness, and Angela, I'm sure you could speak to this even more than me, year round, they wait until that big role. But I don't know. I love it. I love the knowledge of it. I love learning. I love growing. And I love improving more than anything. So the idea of only getting in shape for a role doesn't work for me because I need to be that person to get the role, right? And even when I get to that level of being an Avenger, and I just keep throwing that out there, relative whatever that highest point is, right? I don't want to let my body decompose, for lack of a better word. And I think that might even be somewhat accurate in terms of the composition changing in a negative way, because I want to stay fit and healthy. Like, I don't want I've got some back and knee and shoulder things like anybody does who's an athlete and lifts and trains. And part of what gets me excited about this is bulletproofing my body. So yeah, there's the physique aspect of it, but nobody is telling me a certain pound I need to be, because it doesn't matter. I want to look amazing on camera, and there's no set pound, no set weight that is going to do that. But I can say, hey, I've looked really good at 175 and I cut to 170, let's say. How can I look? How is my body going to look now if the next time I cut, that's 185?
Right.
That's a 15-pound difference. On a 6'1 frame, maybe that's going to make a big difference. Maybe it's going to make a subtle difference. Maybe I come back and go, Angelo, that wasn't enough. There's a sheer curiosity for me. I want to continue to improve. I want to look better when I'm on tour. So I decide to pop the top while I'm on stage, which I do on occasion. I want to be more confident. That's a huge part of it for me too, by the way.
Sure.
Confidence to be able to be the character on a screen, but also be on stage. And if it's, I play in 115 degree weather sometimes in an amphitheater. I'd love to be able to play shirtless and be more confident about it. So the deadline here is, hey, we've gone about as far as we can go in the next week or two before Angelo's telling me, okay, I'm not going to be happy with the cut if I don't have this much time. So our deadline is simply, we had about 3 months. We're going to go all the way up to 3, and then we're going to have 2 months to cut, and we're going to kind of see what we're working with then. And that's the exciting part, because that's really where this becomes a lifelong journey. I'm pretty sure I'm going to be psyched and happy, and then I'm pretty sure I'm going to come back and be like, all right, how do we add another 10 pounds of muscle?
That is precisely what's going to happen. I'm pulling back the curtain here, okay? So not just the numbers and the science, but I want the listeners to understand that, you know, at MetPro, I always talk about we are science, the science to transform. But there is some art involved. There is some psychology involved. So what the coaches do is they're assessing along the way somebody's metabolic rate, because that tells us everything we need to know about what we can expect, how we can expect their bodies to perform and behave under given circumstances. But they may not talk to you about this directly. We're also assessing just the reality of what is a person willing to do. So I'm going to tell you right now, I've worked with guys just like you, James, even faster metabolic rate. But I would not let them do a build cycle the way I've let you do a build cycle. And I'll tell you why. And Crystal's like nodding her head going, I know what he's going to say. Yeah. I'll tell you why. Because discipline does factor in. And so I have put you on an extremely structured weight gain system, methodology, strategy.
Yeah.
And you have been incredibly compliant. Now, that doesn't mean you haven't had a meal here or there. You haven't had travel. Of course you have. But you have been incredibly compliant. So I know that I'm not bringing you up 20, 25 pounds and then, oops, finds out James can't follow a meal plan now to cut 10 pounds off of body fat.
That's the beauty of the check-in system, right? You see me on camera multiple times a week and you would be able to tell, right? You even mentioned this at some point. You went, James, you don't even got to tell me. I can tell you haven't skipped a meal because your body wouldn't be as full. You wouldn't look this way. And it is, by the way, it's tempting when you start to be like, oh, I didn't get it, but I'll just check the box. The reality is you lie to your coach, you're lying to yourself. And that's where it comes to discipline of like, who are you doing this for? I'm not doing this for you. You know, I am doing this for me. You are helping me to achieve my goals. Why would I lie to you? So, I mean, heck, we even saw a difference. We started in December. And there were a few nights, it was like 3 glasses of wine, you know what I mean? Had 2 tequilas, 3 tequilas, and I checked it off. And then we had a conversation about like, well, if you want to get to your goals, you want to get there on the path that we've laid out and the time you have, that's not going to cut it. And done, not in there, just not a part of my life. In fact, I'm taking a whole year off of drinking. I just decided this past week because there's a direct correlation between the less I do of that the more happiness I have, the more my physique gets where I want to go, more my career does. And I've always spoken about this. It's always been a minimal part of my life. Not to take this too off topic, but
no, that's great.
Even if it's a 5% difference, you know how much money somebody I would pay to be 5% better? You know, to have 5% more of an edge. And so I'm just like, that's such an obvious one that I haven't fully embraced. It's still a card I get to play. I'm like, oh, that's gone. You better watch this next 5% come faster.
Nice.
Well, and I think another thing to anybody who's either on the program right now or thinking about jumping in and joining, don't feel like you have to be perfect. Whenever I am off, whenever I am traveling, I just convey to Angelo, go, dude, what can I do to supplement snacks? The next 3 days are going to be tough. We'll talk it through and we'll be like, all right, game plan, eat more than less. If you're only going to get 3 meals a day and you don't have snacks to carry, you know, like try and bring stuff with you. We're going to plan as much in advance as we can. But he's like, dude, go to town and order the bolognese, order a side of potatoes. He's like, I'd rather you have more than less, which is part of the, what people think the fun part of bulking is. Then back to the earlier conversation, the not fun part of bulking is when you're not hungry, you still need to eat. That's torture. That's tough. But the more regimented I am, like when I'm home and I'm training, it's actually not hard. It's when I don't get the big workouts that my metabolism is like, I don't want this. So as long as I keep getting in the good workouts as well, it is a lot easier for me to maintain all the food I need to eat. But anyway,
that's just interjecting.
You've got a coach to work through all these problems with.
So the reason I'm so, as I said, confident that your cutting cycle is going to be.
You said cocky. Level
he did. He did. That's true. You did say cocky.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's fair. That's fair. Guilty as charged. Is because now we have math. Now we just have a simple mathematic equation. So this isn't a random. Well, I think your metabolic rate is running roughly at this point. We've achieved homeostasis where, okay, James is at this weight. He is within, you know, a pound, pound and a quarter of this mean or average body weight and has been sitting there for 7 days, 10 days. And I know exact caloric intake, exact macronutrient ratio, and the whole nine yards. What triggers body transformation change is the delta between what your body is used to versus what you change it to. That's why I famously on these podcasts and seminars and all the times that I lecture, I famously will pick someone out of the audience and say, ask me what you need to do to lose weight or to gain weight. And then I make them yell the words out to me. And I do this as song and dance to hear, so everybody hears me, the guy who's dieted 20,000 people, say, I don't know. Because you don't until you have someone's baseline.
Yeah.
We have your baseline. So now what's going to happen is I'm going to simply create enough of a deficit to where you start burning fat and we're in complete control of how quickly that happens. And then it's going to be a trade-off. The faster we go, the more potential you'll lose muscle with it. So we're just going to be watching the clock, watching the schedule, and watching your body and finding that sweet spot.
So ideally, if you have all the time in the world, slower is better to get the results.
Absolutely.
That's the same with gaining as well?
Okay, that's more nuanced. The answer,
I was like, I'm curious to hear his answer on this. Yeah. This is where you say, it depends, Angelo.
It depends. So that is actually a really good question. In fact, a lot of the fitness influencers, the ones that are really experienced and nuanced, talk a lot about this, and there's differing opinions out there. And correct, like Crystal said, the answer is depends, because basically what we can say is there's a lot of professionals that talk about, well, you want to just add just enough of a surplus so that way you're gaining muscle, you're not gaining fat. Is that technically possible? Yes, we have research that shows that is technically possible, but it just simply doesn't happen most of the time. It's very hard because even a small deficit from what your muscles need to grow, if you miss it even a day here, a day there, it will mute the body's anabolic response, the body's ability to optimally strap on lean muscle. And so if you're trying to thread that needle, is it possible? Yes, but you will inevitably, in practical terms, in experience, you will inevitably just build muscle slower. So the question is, is it worth gaining a little bit of body fat to take that off the table? I know I'm always in a slight surplus. I know that now I need stimulation and I need progressive overload, but I don't have to worry about my intake. I'm getting everything I need plus a little.
Yeah.
Now I'm in an optimal position. That also means you will gain a little body fat. So the answer is metabolically, do you have the leverage to deal with that slight body fat increase without it being an issue? If somebody is in a metabolic state, they're at an anabolic state where they're adding muscle to their frame, but they're doing so and their calorie intake isn't very high, their carbohydrate intake isn't very high, and we know that that cutting cycle is going to be really, it's going to be painful, then my advice is not to allow yourself to gain a bunch of extra body fat. We're nowhere near that orbit, James. In your scenario, we've been able to get your metabolic rate to escalate to where 2-4 pounds of body fat is going to evaporate. It's going to just shed off of your body. We have plenty of room.
Yeah. Well, here's something I've been curious about. So I would say that the nutrition, what I'm eating, has been far more important than my training as I'm gaining. We've been lifting heavy. We've been training, but not nearly as hard as I used to.
Right.
So
right.
From my own experience, I'm going to say that it is far more about the diet when gaining. Now, as we start to cut, I know we're now just starting to reintroduce a little bit of cardio, even before the cut, just to kind of get the blood flowing and get me primed for it. How important is the training now coming back to cutting? How important is it to get the calories burned, heart rate up, do all that cardio that most people do to stay trim? Or is it going to be the exact same thing? No, it's predominantly the nutrition.
That's a great question. It is not the answer everyone wants to hear. Everyone wants to hear the opposite. It is always all about the nutrition. But, you know, to an extent. So I was literally visiting with a client this morning about this topic. Why are we talking mostly about the nutrition and not the exercise? Is the exercise not important? And the answer is no. The exercise really is just as important. It's just not just as big of a problem. Doing the exercise, what we're doing is the minor fluctuations. Okay, what we're going to do is optimize so that way we're overloading the muscle so we get progressive overload, enough stimulation to trigger muscle growth. The diet is the part that everyone has a hard time getting right. Opposite for somebody's trying to lose weight. Okay, you're already doing your cardio. You already have a good amount of activity. Do we have some leverage to do more? Absolutely. Maybe somebody's doing cardio 3 days a week for a half hour. Can we do 4 or 5 days for 40 minutes if they have the energy and recovery for that? Absolutely, that's a lever, but it is a tiny lever in comparison to manipulating the macronutrients, the calories in, the calories out, the carbohydrates, the glycemic load, the meal timing, the whole nine yards. That's what's going to give you that instantaneous result.
I would say it's so much easier to eat 3,000 calories a day if you weren't concerned about what you were adding. You could have cupcakes and ice cream and everything. You could make that happen really fast. And that's why the nutrition is so much more important. Because when you have 3,000 calories of protein and vegetables and going down that road, rather than having 3,000 calories of sugar and fat, that's such a huge difference to your body.
Massive difference. I mean, you look at like a Pop-Tart or a whole entire bowl of rice and chicken. I mean, the volume of food is going to be 4, 5, 10x if you're eating healthy. And I think that's where I was learning a calorie is not a calorie. Well, I guess let me ask the pro here, Angelo. Is a calorie a calorie? If you're just talking, so simple answer is no. And then the complicated answer is also no.
he's got it down. James knows some things.
You look at the fitness influencers. Okay, I'm going to ask you a question as well about that. I mean, there are so many fitness influencers that I look at, that we all look at online. I'm going to speak from a male perspective because usually I think guys are looking at like, yo, I want to look like that guy. What is he doing that I'm not? How many of them are really putting in the work and are dialed in, or how many of them are supplementing with something that's not realistic or extra? Or is it just that we're seeing, because social media has opened up the platform to the entire world, are we just seeing the freak genetics the half a percent of people that happen to just look this way. I guess, is there a balance, or what are your thoughts on that? Because I want to be in a position in the next few months where I'm taking shirtless content and feeling really good about it, but I'm also not sure I'm going to look like 9 out of 10 of those guys that just look like Greek statues.
So that's an interesting question, because, so of course, our stance, we are heavy on the longevity wellness side of things. And I believe for good reason. And so my encouragement is always going to be, of course, everything that we can do naturally. Now, do drugs work? Yeah. Are there side effects? Yeah. But here's the thing. There's this perception that if you're big and jacked, you are taking some sort of enhancements. There is a level of bigness and jackedness that I think we can reasonably conclude that.
That's a scientific term there.
That's not the level I have ever been asked for. Ever. And I've trained, I mean, I used to have, and I think Arnold had one of the most incredible physiques. I think he had the most incredible physique in the sport. I'm just full stop. But I had this, I'm not big on muscle picture. I don't got a bunch of pictures of guys, you know, lifting iron in my gym. But I did have in my office an old timey black and white picture of Arnold. And every guy that would walk through the door after we would do a consult, they'd look at that picture and they would turn to me and they'd say, well, I don't want to look like that. Arnold, he's impressive, but I don't want to look like that. I'm like, oh my God, I'm so glad you told me, because if you hadn't mentioned that, this time next week, you and Arnold were going to be twinsies. There's no possibility of that happening. But every time I ask people, I say, talk to me. Give me an example of a physique that you feel is appealing. And people that are into bodybuilding is awesome. I've trained bodybuilders. We can do that too. But that is extremely rare. Somebody kind of gets the drive in their head for that level. Most people, they crave that athletic physique. And that usually, it doesn't necessarily come with excessive bulk. It doesn't mean some guys don't want to see some size and some beef, but it usually doesn't come with excessive. And you and I have had these conversations, and you want to have a physique like that, but there's no way you don't want a physique anywhere near at the size that it would require that kind of supplementation. And that's the unfortunate, because what I dislike is in the industry, because of the accessibility and influencers, it's becoming more commonplace, and some could argue more acceptable, and it shouldn't be. Yeah. I just lost my cousin at 39.
Sorry to hear.
And it just, and you know, people think, well, this is something I'll deal with consequences when I'm old and gray. Not always, you know. So that's the side of the fence that I'm on when it comes to things like that. But
we're also on a positive note on that. I've seen people my age and younger, and a lot younger, start to normalize and appreciate healthy living that just didn't exist when I was a kid. It wasn't something that you were like, oh, I want to be sober and that's cool. It wasn't cool. You wouldn't drink in high school and you did all things that just, they don't seem to have the same pressure on that anymore, which I think is awesome. I think that maybe because of social media, because of conversations like this, we have and are normalizing how awesome it is to be actually healthy, how much better you're going to look naturally, how much happier you're going to be, how much more, you know, time in the day you have to do cool things. Yeah. So I think these conversations are awesome. And look, there's a time and a place for supplementation, or you get older and like working with a doctor and TRT or HRT, like, look.
Yeah, that's not what we were talking about.
Exactly. That's not, but I think clarifying, that's not what we're talking about. There's science that can advance, you know, healthy ways of living, and that's great. But then there's just abusing drugs, which is what we're talking about, which, you know, we're old enough to have the resources to be able to talk to doctors and have conversations. What I worry about is, you know, high schoolers that are afraid to talk to their parents about this stuff, that go and just get some off-market testosterone or more or worse, don't know what they're doing, aren't being monitored, aren't getting blood work. That's stupid. That's dangerous. Just don't do it. And I love that we're normalizing having this conversation, because if you're 17, you're like, man, I think I need that to be jacked. Talk to someone like Angelo, who's going to just tell you, no, you don't. You just got to put in the work. You want to be lazy, or you want to be awesome and put in the work and look like that, and maybe even better, if you have the knowledge. So I think that just comes back to, there are no shortcuts for any of this stuff, including that crap. But if you can work with MetPro, you can learn to figure out whatever it is you want for yourself. You just got to put in the work.
So it's proof that everything James just said is absolutely accurate. As proof of that, pro sports.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I had to be careful about what protein powder I gave my NFL players. Protein powder I gave them to make sure there wasn't accidentally an ingredient, because they test those guys so rigorously with all the banned substances. You look at some of our NFL players and go, no, that's not big. That's not jacked enough for me. I need to be way bigger than that. No, these guys are just monsters. So you see really what can be accomplished all
on natural. Great example.
So, but follow along, guys. Follow along. Watch James' journey. So we're set up. Yeah, go ahead, Crystal.
I was going to say, so we're going to have a website set up for that, right? It's metpro.co/James, yeah. And you're going to be able to see all of his fitness journey as he goes through with MetPro and Angelo. So is there anything else that you guys wanted to add before we wrap up today?
You still haven't told me what I'm going to start doing differently to cut down. Hold out on me. I'm waiting for
I like to keep you on the edge of your seat. So most people from our community will be familiar with MetPro phases. So are you on it? You know, and we have 447 meal plans in our CRM. And if you ask me next week, we'll have 448, because there's always adding a use case scenario. But if you're doing MetPro, you are on a progression that is appropriate to you, and you are on one of the phases on that progression based on where your intake needs to be. So James is on a very high phase. You will be moving down in phases, but we have made a custom edit to your meal plan, which we've actually done for quite a few of our clients. And that is, we reached a threshold where we had you replace a few of your snacks with clean gainer shakes. We've done some our own ingredients. We've done some that we are pre-mixed that we really like, that have all natural quality ingredients. Those will be the first things coming out. So
you're referring to my two Fat Boy shakes a day.
That's it.
And my delicious raw baked potato with salt and pepper on it as a bedtime snack. Oh, 12-ounce potato, post Fat Boy shake.
And he was grateful for the salt and pepper on the potato.
I bet.
Keeps you humble, boys and girls.
It does. It does. I'm surprised he let you have the salt, honestly, that late at night, you know? I'm surprised. The sodium level the next day.
You know what? This is hard enough.
So we'll be backing that off systematically, much like we did when we increased. We will do a larger cut right out of the gate, not large, but larger than the increases we've made. And then we will systematically, okay, now we're at this body fat percentage. We're going to track you. Okay. Now we're going to lower you just a little more until you stop losing body fat, and we're going to lose. And we are not going to end up working you all the way down to where you started, because you have bought yourself so much metabolic leverage with all your hard work and systematic dieting through this process, that in an ideal world, we have you back somewhere in an intermediary phase. Now, we will do a little smoke and mirrors when you have, you know, a particular photo shoot or stage presence. And that's not the day in and day out. There'll be some strategies where we can pull a little bit of water off of you, manipulate your sodium. And that's just stuff that we do, everyone does. In Hollywood, by the way, folks, everyone does this, manipulate sodium and things like that just for a day or so. There's no need to do that on a day in and day out basis. In fact, it's not healthy to do that long term. People sometimes get in this mindset, they're cutting stuff out, no good. But we might manipulate a little if you have a particular photo shoot or a particular scene you're filming or something like that. But outside of that, we're gonna have you walking around day in and day out at a very low body fat percentage. Not so low that it's not that balanced, because lower is not always better. It's for each physique. We have to look at them and identify where's the sweet spot. And so we're going to find that for you, and it's going to be a lot of fun.
I'm curious how you guys are tracking body fat. Like, is this through a scale? Is this through some kind of measurement at a gym or a bod pod, DEXA scan, etc.?
Yeah, I'm going to be getting James into a DEXA fit here soon. So
okay. Good to do that, because again, data watching the numbers go up or go down is oftentimes the only thing that I've got to go on.
That's right.
You look at yourself day in, day out, it's hard to tell. You feel one way, you're like, man, I feel like I'm small, and like, dang, I'm 4 pounds heavier. It's almost impossible for us to tell. Even Angelo, to some degree, he's looking at me every day. He's got a better perspective being a professional, but the data is the data. And so I'm very excited. I hope we do a DEXA or something where every, I don't know how frequently, we have checkpoints and just go, hey, are we hitting our goals? If not, let's accelerate. If we're on point, again, there's just take the guesswork out of it. It makes your life a lot easier.
That's right. Very
fun. That's exciting. Well, thank you both so much for your time today. And would you guys like to provide like where people can find you if you have if they have questions for you, where they can find you on social media, perhaps?
Yeah, I'm just at James Maslow across pretty much every platform. You go to jamesmaslow.com if you want to link to all of them. And then, of course, we're going to be throwing up exactly what I'm eating, and I'll even be providing some cringeworthy photos and videos of me at 200 pounds, not psyched. And then honest feedback along the way, which is going to be mechpro.co/James. So we're going to be real honest with where we're at and then the cutting cycle. And hopefully when we get to where we want to be like,
there's
this is
no hopefully, buddy. He's being modest. He knows it.
I'm putting the work. I haven't done it before yet, though. I mean, this is, there's a lot of, it's exciting. There's also, I mean, I'm still my first time through this. There's a lot of faith and trust you have to put in to your coach and to the program. So
That's so true.
With humility and a bit of a joke, but honestly, there's been several days where I've gone to you and been, dude, are you sure? And it's again, I don't know if I would have maintained this if I just saw it in written form. So there's part of me, it's like, I'm anxious, I'm excited, I believe it's going to happen, but also like, I want to see it too, you know, which is part of the fun, the anxiety, the process.
And so, you know, the thing is, this is just Tuesday for us because we've done this a couple times. But I will say this, every single athlete that I work with, and I put you in that category, James, I learned something new from. And it is a unique experience. And I'm loving being part of the process. It's going to be a blast. So
appreciate it, Coach. And what's the best socials for you, Angela?
Go to metpro.co/James. That's where I want to watch. You want to click around, but you can see. And if you're like, hey, this is something I'm interested in, great. We'll show you what a program would be like for you. But watch what he's doing and check it out because it's going to be a lot of fun. A lot of fun.
It sure is. It sure is. Well, thank you both again. Listeners, that's all for this week. And you can find all the MetPro Method episodes anywhere you get podcasts, or you can go to metpro.co/podcast. Please be sure to follow the show and rate and review. That lets other people know what they can expect from the show. You can also learn more about MetPro at metpro.co. I'm your host, Crystal O'Keefe, and I'll be back in a couple of weeks with another episode. Until then, remember, consistency is key.